Blog
I would never
Radio.
Vote for anyone based on gender or race. I'm voting for Barack Obama not because he's black. I'm voting for Barack Obama because he's brilliant.
Adam, where art thou?
Who is Barack Obama? Contrary to the rumors that you've heard, I was not born in a manger. I was actually born on Krypton and sent here by my father, Jor-El, to save the planet Earth. If I had to name my greatest strength, I guess it would be my humility. Greatest weakness, it's possible that I'm a little too awesome.
It's not a police officer's job to discipline somebody's children. That's a parent's job. And if the parents don't step up and discipline their children, then they're going to see me and I won't be as charming as I normally am.
It's Sunday, and welcome into another edition of Adam, Where Art Thou? With Kathleen Williams. Kathleen, how you doing?
I am doing great tonight, Jay. Thank you so much for the great introduction. Incredible host. It's wonderful to be here again tonight. Welcome, 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 everybody, to Sunday. It's last Sunday, September. Oh my God! It's the last Sunday. So we are going to enjoy it and start gearing up here on the West Coast for the winter. Wow, I can't even get next to these ideas. It's almost Christmas, guys. Anyway, welcome everybody to the Adam from our family. And tonight, you've got some things about that and English. And I just want to thank you to everyone who has contacted about the Lisa Nichols, your support with that. And definitely, if you did not catch Lisa Nichols here with us last week, go into our archive, check out my page, pull it up. It's powerful. Soon I will, probably within the next 24 hours, you'll be able to like her person who's actually here in New York City on my television program. I'm just saying, I'll be promoting that on the internet for all of you around the country to see. So, we've got a lot of exciting things going on. We've got a great conversation. We also want to send condolences to the family and friends of Troy Davis. We're pretty devastated by the outcome of the various situations, the various incidents and situations surrounding Troy Davis. This past week, he was executed in the state of Georgia. We also want to send condolences to the family of Vesta Williams. God bless you, Vesta. Rest in peace. We will miss you dearly. And Ronnie and I will definitely be talking about that this evening in the after show. We'll, hang out a little bit and talk about Vesta and share a little bit about her life and her experience. And we're sorry to lose her. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about Vesta Williams, the singer extraordinaire, who we lost this past week. She passed away in her hotel room. So to the family of Vesta Williams, our prayers, condolences, and we love you as well. So for tonight, we're ready. We're going to be talking with Dr. Princess Odelia this evening about marriage, wedding, bliss, and all of the wonderful things. Why didn't I, you, get married? Why are there so many people in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 30s, wanting to have a partner for life, a spouse, a husband, a wife, and they're unable to get married, particularly in the Black community? I was looking at the statistics today. If you recall, in September, in the New York Times, well, almost every year in the New York Times and in Essence Magazine, you see all of these articles about the dismal state of marriage in the Black community in particular. And also amongst Black women, there's a conversation that, a Black woman is more likely to be to meet with a terrorist. I'm cleaning it up a little bit, I'm paraphrasing, but you know what I mean. Come in contact with a terrorist is to come in contact with a spouse. Isn't that awful? I think that's just terrible. So anyway, I am talking, but let me go no further, and I'm going to introduce my special guest tonight, Dr. Princess Odelia, and also with us is my sister. She's back from a church this afternoon, I believe, and she's online with us. Ronnie is here, so I am going to everybody's mic, and I see I also have another guest, and we'll invite him in a minute, too, so we can have this conversation. So welcome, Dr. Princess Odelia, sister, friend, colleague, partner, everything else. It's wonderful to have you here on Adam Where Art Thou. How are you, my dear, my sister? How you doing?
I am doing absolutely awesome. I am so excited to be here on Adam Where Art Thou with my sister. And I'm looking forward to this discussion. It's going to be very interesting, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely is. And Ronnie, your mic is live also. We're just going to bring you right in, right from the top of the hour, so we can talk about, about this conversation. I have another friend and guest on the line, Mr. Tony Rose. He is a friend of the show. He's also a friend of the television show, I'm Just Saying. The president of Tony Rose Luxury. Tell me the name of the company, Tony, because I get TR Luxury is the one that I say, but I know it's Blue Limo Luxury Limousine. Talk to me. And welcome to Adam Where Art Thou. Thank you so much for being on the line with us tonight. Tony, you there? Okay, when he comes back to the line, he's on the line listening, so he might have his phone muted, so we'll bring him back in when he's ready. So, Dr. Odelia, what's going on with marriage and women? What's happening, especially with women in their 40s and beyond? I have a lot of friends, and actually, yes, they are not just African-American women. I have a lot of girlfriends, both they're Latino, white women, Indian women, Black women, more Black women, though, that I know of that are in their late 30s, in their 40s. Some have children, some have never had children, and they want to be married. And, I am not a judge of wives, right? But they seem like fabulous women to me. So I don't know what it is, what the issue is, but, I work with men, so I know a ton of guys. And often they say they can't meet any good women. So what's really going on? Talk to me. What's your take on this?
It's so much that can be, conclusions that we can draw as a result of it. But from professionally speaking and personally speaking dealing with a lot of girlfriends myself and of different cultures, ethnicities, I really believe that a large portion of the women, they've been married, okay, and they did not have such a good experience in their marriage, and they are in the scenario oftentimes of raising their children, so they get very, very independent, and in that they become complacent, I believe, in a lot of cases. By the time they're done raising their children, they're in the ages of 40s, et cetera, and they have come to the point that they're not willing to just settle. And unfortunately, then we go to the other side and reason. They have an issue with the men. Oftentimes, the men, there's a shortage of good men. There may be a lot of men, but there are not so many good men. And they are at the point and place in their lives, especially as being very independent, having to raise their families on their own. They draw the conclusion, I'm not settling for anything, so they end up alone. Thirdly, I'll say one more thing that I believe and I know is a very, very huge part of it, is that a lot of women in their mind, they have this idea that there are no good men, and many of them cannot see a good man if the man came to slap them in the face. So they then miss out. They miss out on the big picture. They miss out on a good opportunity, and they do come few and far between. I don't know. That's been my knowledge, my personal knowledge, and also dealing with other friends and even clients in that manner. It's not enough. It's just not enough good men.
Ronnie, what do you think?
You know, it's a subject that I've always, I think I've been weighing in on since I was old enough to weigh in. And I don't really think that there's not enough good men. I think that, I'll say that. There are a lot of good men. But there's a situation that we have in our community that a lot of our men are incarcerated. A lot of our men are diminished by drugs, and a lot of our men are diminished by lack of education. So I'm not saying that they're not, that, because she's right, there are a lot of good men not available to us. They're unavailable to us. That's I think that's the way I have been, you know, able to process it for myself, to be a little bit more comfortable. They're just not available to all of us, you know. And like she said, we don't want to settle anymore. Things are different than when our parents were married, that they, you know, they would marry and stay together for life, where, and our mothers, you know, they worked, but they didn't work on the equal level as our fathers. So now women are able to work on an equal level. You know, not, we don't make as much money as men do, but pretty much we can take care of ourselves. We're not willing to settle for, okay, you know, I'll work a part-time job, take care of the children, and he goes to work. And that's it, that thing that used to happen in the families back in the early 60s and 70s. So now we're a lot more independent. And I think that goes along with what Sister was saying, that we're so much more independent now. And so we look at the men and we say, okay, yeah, I don't have to live with a drug addict. You know, I don't have to live with somebody that's just not available. Not all men are, you know, not all men are afflicted, but a lot of men are afflicted. And I think one of the biggest genocidal acts against our black man is that prison, that penitentiary. To me, it just, it's an awful thing that has happened to us. I don't know how we overcome it. I know it can be done, but we need to do something about it.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because and the you know, my friend Tony, I lost him. I'm going to call him actually and get him to call back in, but he can speak directly about that because he was incarcerated. So he has been talking to me about the situation inside the prison walls with regards to the number of black men who are actually in prison. And I was just up at Rikers Island the other day, and I'm telling you, the guys, I didn't see any guys not of color, except the ones that were, except the guys that were working there. Even of the men that were working there, the majority of the people working there were of color. But I did not see one inmate who was not of color. So there were Latino men and black guys. And I, you know, I'm sure there are some there, but I'm just telling you, in my passings through up at Rikers Island, I didn't see any. And when I went to Rikers to speak with Les Brown. Oh, it's over a year ago now. When I went up there to speak, we were in a room like a gymnasium, and they brought in about 150 guys. And you could probably count on two hands the number of guys that were not of color, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was just in that one session. So, and we hear it over and over again.
Wow.
And that one out of every six, I think it is, men will have some, for black men, will have some kind of contact with the criminal justice system.
I like to use collaboration. I like to use that term. We always have some type of collaboration with law enforcement.
Wow. Wow. You know, I'm really thinking too.
Dr. Princess Adelia, one second. I was just going to say that number is probably higher. Collaboration with law enforcement is gotta be, is probably, I'm sure that number is about 99.5%, right? And that includes the president. You know, I mean, hasn't he been stopped? I think every guy that I know, every black guy that I know has been stopped by the police, every single one. Okay, but anyway, go ahead, Dr. Princess Adelia.
Wow. And, you know, it's interesting because I know we all come from various parts of life. And in my era, I do know, even in my family, those that have been incarcerated, I believe that it really just starts with us as women being single parents, okay, understanding how to raise a man in the absence thereof. And really bringing to the forefront good men by letting them know and showing them how to be good men and how to draw the attention for a good woman. I mean, we all have to, it really starts in the mind. And, you know, as what I focus on in personal development and people individually becoming personally developed, that I cannot share how much and how important it is. When we talk about why didn't I get married right now, it really starts with the individual. A lot of us do not allow ourselves, and I'm talking to us women, we don't allow ourselves to heal. If we've had situations, bad marriages, et cetera, we don't become personally developed, and we tend to... For a few times, we may settle in a relationship. Then at some point, at the age of 40, you're pretty much over the drama, and you're like, you know what, no more drama in my life, I'm done. And a lot of times, a woman's heart becomes hardened. As well, I see men, their hearts become hardened. There are a lot of men that are, I really think, are more abused mentally than even us women. I have run across, even lately.
Why do you think that?
Why do I think men are more, like, I should say, I'm not saying that there are more men abused, but men are, they handle a bad relationship, to me, far more harsh than a woman does. When I talk to men, and I don't know what it's been lately, I have run across so many men that have been scorned in past relationships, and as a result, they themselves can't tell it, see a good woman if the woman slapped them in the face. And I believe that a man is a lot more emotional. A man is a lot more emotional than what the statistics would, I think, even try to even identify, unless you really delve into the research, and then you can see where there's a lot of internet websites and coaching sites that are there for men in support of that. But when we talk about this, we all right now today, you know, I'm 41, okay? So, and I have this independent attitude, I really do. I do not want to settle. I will not settle. There are things that I put up with when I was younger I would not ever put up with now. When I look at the choices, I see a lot of men who are married, who are unhappy, or I see men who are single, who they are really scorned. Therefore, the relationship going forward in with a new person
it's almost impossible dealing with them. It's like they don't forget it, and they tend to really make it difficult for the next woman, and vice versa. So I think everybody really needs to take time to really just focus on self first, get yourself together, and then you can draw energy to bring the mate that is designed for you. But until we do that, and it's really difficult. It's really difficult.
I think she said the magic word. You hit the nail on the head with not healing, because if you don't heal, you have nothing to bring to a relationship except more pain for everybody. And I found out lately from observing the single women around me that the latest weapon against relationships is, let me click on this girl. And let me click on this guy.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Once he's instant.
Oh, you mean on the
instant? Exactly. Instant relationship,
yes.
Instant disposal.
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty intense. Okay, so you know what? So let me just sum up a little bit so I can catch everybody up. We got a few more callers on the line. Let me just sum up real quick what you ladies have said so far. So Ronnie, you've mentioned that you think one of the primary things that have affected relationships, particularly in the Black community, is the fact that many of our men have been incarcerated. So we just have less men to go around. And is that
right.
Would that be an accurate assessment?
Exactly. That's an accurate assessment,
okay.
In my opinion.
And Dr. Princess Adelia, you were mentioning that you think that a lot of women feel as though there are not a lot of good men around, and men feel the same way, that there are not a lot of good women around, and men are sometimes a lot more emotional than women are, so they've been scorned and they're not interested in looking or trying to get into long-term relationships. Would that be a good real quick summary of some of the things that you said?
Yes, but and more so that the man, just as the woman, have a difficult time recognizing a good woman and vice versa for the woman recognizing a good man.
Okay, so we're going to bring in, first I'm going to introduce to the show and welcome to the show a good friend of the program, Mr. Paul Walker, who does a lot of work with singles, a lot of events, a lot of work, a lot of programs with single people. So I want to welcome Paul to the show. And Paul, Mr. Paul Walker, just thank you so much for calling. Welcome to Adam, Where Art Thou? And tell us a little bit about what you think is the issue with regards to singles and people not really hooking up and getting married and having good long-term relationships.
Well, hello, everyone. First of all, how you doing, Kathleen?
Hi, thank
yes.
you. Hi, Paul. I'm good. Thank you.
You're welcome. My personal opinion is that in regards to, you know, single men and women and stuff like that, you know, times have changed, obviously, with the economy and stuff like that, with people work efforts, you know, you got to work long, more hours, more days and stuff like that. But people are still looking for someone to be with. You know, unfortunately, you know, it doesn't happen that easy where we both know that, but you gotta make time. You have to make the time. I truly believe that you have to make time if you want to find that special someone or at least a good friend that could possibly lead to a long-term relationship.
Okay, and so is that one of the things that, do you think that people are not making time? And why would that be?
Well, I say that to say, you know, based on from what I've seen, there's a lot of single events throughout the tri-state area, throughout New York City, and I've seen people constantly join them. Oh, I'm, you know, single event, yes, dating, networking, and stuff like that, but the amount of people who first join versus the amount of people who support the group and actually come out is a whole different ball game. So what's the purpose of you joining a singles group with intentions that you say you want to meet somebody, but you never come out to meet nobody.
That's wow. That's a good point. I wanna bring in also Mr. Tony Rose, and I definitely, Tony, if you heard me do this summary, what Ronnie was saying earlier about the fact that we're losing a lot of our men to the prison system, and also, you know, that might have an impact on relationships, and just, you know, that there are not so many marriages happening in Black community, so many single people. Weigh in for us, and welcome, of course, to Adam, Where Art Thou? Thanks so much for calling in tonight.
Good night, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Good night. Thank you.
Good evening.
Okay, how you doing? Good evening. How you doing, Kathleen?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I'm good. I'm blessed. You know, taking one day at a time. I guess what I can add to the situation is, it is a little tragedy that the two women and men can't get along and stay in long-lasting relationships. I think some of the reasons are some of our men are not being really taught how to be gentlemen. They don't have a lot of good upbringing. They don't have role models that they believe in and trust in. And, you know, and to be in a relationship with a woman, a man has to understand how to be a man. He has to be in a circle that teaches him how to be a man. These are things he has to be groomed. He has to be groomed to be prepared to even be dealing with a woman. And you're right, a lot of men go to prison. A lot of men are in situations that are not favorable. And a woman wants a man that can take care of her, protect her, and she definitely wants to be secure. But with a lot of men being in the position that they don't have these things in place, it's hard. It's really hard to hook up. It's really hard to hook up.
You know, Kathleen, I wanted to. I'll be fine.
Go ahead. Tony, you were finishing? Yeah, Tony, you were finishing.
Okay, I said it's really hard to hook up when a man is not totally balanced in these particular areas. You know, women definitely want to be loved. They want to be taken care of. They want to be protected. And they want to be treated nicely. And if men are growing up in these type of environments where they're not getting these kind of balanced things, it's going to be hard to get a mate. It's going to be hard to even.
So, Dr. Princess Adelia, you wanted to say something about that?
Yeah, I just, you know what, I agree 100%. And when he started talking, I was thinking, if we sum it up, it goes back, like I said, it starts with the parenting, the issues, I should say, and also the remedies for us to change the lack of marriage and family in our lives and within our race. We have to look at the parenting, the fact that we do have a large number of single parent homes, and the absence of the father, especially when it comes to a young man, it's sad, the outcome. They generally end up with, they end up being oftentimes an abusive person as a result of the anger. They also lack trust within the relationship, a tendency to look at just to lack trust because they had that absence. You also have insecurity that is as a result of the lack of a father. Then when we get older, and a lot of us are in that situation already. I was raised by a single parent, and we're already in that situation. We're already in the situation of not knowing how to have a family nor a relationship, a successful one. And as a result of us not understanding how to have that relationship, many of our relationships fail. When they fail, we then start the whole seeking routine. We start settling. We start wanting to just look for our own pleasurable desires. You know, we end up in relationships with people that we had a good sexual encounter with, and it ends up being a long-term situation that oftentimes ends up where the individuals are very unhappy within that relationship. And then when that dissipates, then we don't take time to get ourselves together. And that's to sum it up.
Well, that's a good summary and a good conversation. I want to come back to some of the men. I'd like them to weigh in. We hear so much about guys, and I think it's so important for us to hear from men. So, and so listen, we're going to take a break real quick. We will be back in just a moment. Sit tight, weigh in, present, welcome to the audience chat room, send us some questions. You're here with Adam. Where art thou? I am
Adam.
Where art thou?
Refreshing, thirst quenching, chill kind of average and oldie but goodie, but it could never be the average. Guzzle it, sip it, let it flow. You know the steeds. We're gonna have a hell of a time with drinks like these.
I didn't call your job. Thank you.
Welcome back to Adam, Where Art Thou? Right here on the TGR's Radio Network, online radio at its best. Kathleen, it's all yours.
Welcome back, everybody. We are back from break. I'm Kathleen Williams, your host. And if you are listening over on the TGR's Radio Network and you would like to get in on the conversation, please call 909-265-9189. If you want to weigh in and you have comments, we'd love to have you. 909-265-9189. Before we went to break, we were talking about marriage. Why didn't I get married? So many women, every article you read, Essence Magazine, New York Times Magazine, Ebony Jet Magazine, talking about the fact that black women are not getting married. Okay, so I am going to throw out a couple of things. One of the things that we hear about is that black women are not perceived as being attractive to men, period, whether it's black men, white men, Indian men, Latino men. Black women are often considered in media. A lot of times the actresses even say it. If you don't have a certain look, which is more of a European look, you're not perceived as being attractive. Gentlemen, I want to pose this question to you. Guys, I want to pose this question to you. And just tell it like it is. Tell the truth, fellas. Do you think that black women are unattractive or not? We want to hear it. We just want to know. Tell us what you think. Let me see. Let me start with, welcome to the show, Mr. Jerome Esprit, another very dear friend of the show. Jerome, I'm going to start with you and then go back to all the guys. Paul and Tony, you will be next. Jerome, what do you want to weigh in for us?
No, just first. Okay, that is not good. Okay, first of all, I want to say that is crazy. Wow. Everybody wants to be like black women and get butt injections and breast implants and lift collagen stuff. You can actually sit there and ask the question, do we find black women attractive? Now, that is nuts to me. I don't know what to tell you, but that is, to me, that is just a silly question. I don't know. I thought it was a joke, so I had to be easy about it. I don't think, you know the funny thing? I don't think anybody will disagree with that. Everybody wants to the swagger of black folks. Everybody mocks culturally black folks, and let alone black women are always kind of the standard without it being black women. So people like J-Lo or Kim Kardashian because they like black women, but black women don't like black women. That's nuts.
Well, thank you. Let me go to Paul Walker. Paul, what do you have to say about this conversation? What do you think? Is it true? Because people say, okay, if you're in Hollywood, if you're too dark, you're too fat, you're too thick, you're too, you know, if your hair is not weaved or it's not straight, you know, there's so many issues about black women and their appearance. Is that the issue?
Maybe in Hollywood, you know, trying to get an acting job or actress trying to get a movie role or something like that. I think even though they, as far as the women want, or the white women of other ethnic backgrounds, they might want injections, the shape, some of the swag, but I think it's more so of some, not all, black women's attitude. You know, A lot of men don't want to deal with certain black women's attitude when everything is an issue, especially when they come home from a hard day's work, or they work in two jobs, you know, it's a family, they got kids, you know, and if they're not communicating together, and every time he walks through the house, there's an argument or nitpicking or some unnecessary unapparent reason, then that could be a strong factor in why that this quote-unquote conversation about black women is not looked upon as far as being married and, you know, stuff like that, or first to ask to be in a relationship.
Okay, so if I hear you correctly, are you saying that black women can be difficult or angry, or is that the conversation that you're bringing up? I just want to be clear. Not.
Oh. You're absolutely right, and yes, that's what I'm saying. Again, like I said, not all, but you know, a lot of them are argumentative.
Okay, all right. Can somebody else? Let me see. I don't even need to call your name out. You guys don't have to be polite. You can just jump right in. So everybody's mics are open, but I'll reach out to you, Tony. Tell me, what do you think?
In my opinion, I basically feel like, you know, all races of women have similar issues, you know, and even with the males, we can be at times difficult to deal with because of a lot of the things that we have to go through as males. I think women do go through a lot of issues with dealing with men, and that's what might cause them to be a little bitter. You know, after trying through a failed relationship, of course they're going to take a lot of baggage with them to the next situation. I think women, if they learn how to detox themselves from a negative situation, they'll be a little more pleasant to deal with. Just like the gentleman that just was speaking, they do have these issues and they take them into other relationships, and that's what causes the aggravation. That's what causes the anger and the nitpicking, and that's what men see. A woman can have the right kind of job. She can have the right kind of attitude, right kind of mentality, face value. But then when you get to dealing with her, you get to knowing her, and, you know, some of the stuff that she might have been dealing with in her past leading up to the present can cause her to be argumentative or cause her to be real different. Difficult to deal with.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Steph, go right ahead.
Are you there?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. It's me, Ronnie. Okay, first of all, I'm married. I've been married. So I feel like I can weigh in on this one. And I've had several relationships with various men. So, you know what I mean, various ethnicities at times. And what I do know about black women is that one thing we have is the ability to be able to maybe not be so, he said we have bad attitudes, but I think our culture is a culture that speaks up for itself. We are, you know, our mothers teach us to speak up for ourselves. We have a good moral background, the majority of our families, and our parents say, oh, no, don't say this. Behave yourself, this and that. We taught to be respectful. We taught to, you know, don't curse at a woman. Don't treat a woman this way or that. In our family, we had a father. We didn't have a single family home, and we didn't hear cursing. We didn't hear yelling. Our father never, ever disrespected our mother in that way. So, and if he did say something that he didn't like, she didn't like, she let him know about it. And I never heard her curse at him, but she would let him know. We just have a way of, you know, and that's our cultural background. So I don't know about us having bad attitudes. I think that if you doing something in the home that's detrimental to the family, then you, yes, may get a bad attitude from me or from another black woman, but a lot of times we need to straighten each other out. I don't think that's something we should hold against each other. You know, if I'm doing something that's not correct, my husband should be able to straighten me out. And if he's doing something that's going to be incorrect or unrespectful or, you know, detrimental to the family, we should be able to speak with each other, help each other get ahead, and not hold that against each other and turn it into a stereotype. You know, and I've found as I've gone on and had, you know, like I said, had interaction with men from different races, they can't wait for a black woman's attitude. And if you don't have that, then they feel disappointed. Like, she's not going to yell and she's not going to roll her neck and stick her finger up in the air. And, you know, that whole attitude that people think we have. And then they get bored. They're like, I was hoping to get that. That's the best part of being involved.
I don't know who want to go first as far as the fellas, but I do want to say something in regards to that last comment. This is Paul. In regards to a woman being disrespected in the home and stuff like that, or being cursed upon, of course that shouldn't be tolerated by any woman. But far as a woman coming with an attitude and with all the extra drama, with a head snapping back and sucking the teeth, me personally, I don't look forward to that or any of the above. You can be a strong black woman helping me, advising me, you know, or giving me suggestions without you doing all of that. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. I don't need a black woman or any woman giving me extra attitude because she doesn't like something that I have done or didn't do or didn't get done at a particular time or moment. Because I'm pretty sure...
How many people do you know snap their heads back?
It's the working and stuff like that. In today's time, more than likely, the man and woman is working. So she might feel her job is the only important one, or she having the chance to think about, well, you know what, my man or my husband, he works is just as hard as I do, regardless to whether we're doing something different. So maybe let me just ask how was his day?
Right. You know what I think? I have to weigh in here. First, a couple of things. I believe that a black woman, any woman with an attitude, okay, it's not attractive, and men don't like it, I know. But I think oftentimes what I've seen, and brothers, you can comment, please, but I have seen that a lot of black men have, if we say too much at all, there's this position with many black men that they feel we should just kind of, you know, be quiet, and they think it comes off with attitude. I also would say in the favor of the black man that, for example, I'm a very bubbly person. I have a lot of bubbles, okay? I usually come with, you know, laughing and, you know, and I love to have a good time. I also am serious. I have a very serious side as well. And I have never had a problem with attracting a man, never. And, you know, there's a lot on the scale there. I think that a lot of us women, we have, because of our independence as black women, we just, it's a lot of times, I mean, we're strong. We're very, very, very strong. I think some of us need to kind of take some of the edge off and relax, let our hair down and relax, so that we can be pleasurable to a black man or any man, whatever, you know, your race, whatever you're choosing. And there's a difference between us. I will say this. I have a lot of Caucasian friends, and I have seen them in their marriage and how they react. The women are different. They are a lot quieter than we are. And their position is for the most part, unless they've been raised around us, their position is a lot more mellow. And I'll just say to us women, hey, let's get it together. You know what? We need to relax. We do need to relax. And we need to understand that it's really with us, we have, the ball is in our court. The ball is always in our court. And if we play it strategically, we can definitely make a man happy. Of man happy, and you can get in conjunction with that, you'll get everything that you want. But when we try to boss up, we end up making for a not happy home. And we also end up missing great opportunities.
Okay, well,
You know what? One more thing, Kathleen. I heard you say earlier that the statistics say that most of our men are looking for the European type. And I have
I didn't say that. What I said was that it is perceived, and it's talked about amongst in Hollywood and in beauty magazines and so forth when they're addressing black women. The conversation is that black women are not beautiful or attractive to men, period. Not just black men, just men, period. That unless a woman has more European features, the long hair, the you know, whatever, she's not perceived as attractive. And that's been years. That's nothing new. That's what I was going to say.
I am a chocolate woman. And I never have a problem. So I don't know. You know, I think some of that is changing, but I'm sure they said that, and it has been like that. But I've never had a problem ever at all.
I think somebody else was joining in, too. Who was that?
Me. I said there was a study done this past year, and they published it from one of the universities, one of the professors that said that the black woman is basically perceived as unattractive to the male species.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
I'm not surprised.
The reason why I'm not surprised is because throughout history, there's always some way to come in and undermine the black male and female. This is what I've been observing throughout my life. There's always some new, you know, they want to, I guess, let's say, we're going to verify that black people are just not worthy, basically, through society.
So that's why we have this back and forth
discussion. We lived on the West Coast, Kathy, how long? We lived there for years. Brothers wouldn't come near a black girl. They wouldn't talk to you. Am I lying?
No, not at all.
They wouldn't talk to you. They would die first.
Yeah, and Jerome wanted to jump in. But that's absolutely true. That's not a lie. That is not a lie. Jerome, go ahead. What did you want to say?
I'm familiar with that study, and I remember that story. Probably a couple of months ago, it was written by some Asian guy who was doing research about beauty standards. He did use like television and interviews and all of that, but that is always garbage. That's like doing a black and white dial test. I don't know how many times we're going to do that, but television is never going to show, especially since Europeans own television, I mean, and I mean it from the producing side, they're never going to show black people as a beauty standard ever. So once you get a white female becoming the beauty editor of Essence, don't expect Essence to be any different. I mean, you get mad about that, but everyone goes, she's just like us, and that's not true. Right? And so we don't even learn how to appreciate ourselves culturally to understand that we react and act different culturally. Beauty standards are brainwashing. And so I'm not surprised that people in California, sorry for the people who are in California, but I'm not surprised that their beauty standards are different. They're in the land of make-believe to a larger point. So, you know, if they believe the beauty standards that they've been sold, they're confused as well.
Wow. I am so surprised.
Amen.
Especially, I'm very surprised.
I want to welcome another caller to the show. He's been listening. His name is Stanley, and he had some comments about why he's not married that he thinks that we didn't touch on. Stanley, go right ahead. Welcome to Adam, Where Art Thou? Thank you for your comment. And let us know where you're calling from.
Yes, I'm calling all the way from New York, and I'm listening to what you're saying. There's many great things, but there's one thing that we didn't figure why a lot of men I know personally are not getting married is, first of all, because they have other friends that did get married are awful, or basically they're miserable in their marriage. They lost the whole time that before they got married – The relationship was great. The woman always brought her 110%. She was never complaining him. She was always like, this man is my man. She was always proud of being with him. The woman would always dress up nice, look good. Sex was never a problem. And then the guy says, my God, I must have got the jackpot. After 2 years and she's great, like, let me get married. I'm not gonna get away with that. That is the jackpot. Next thing you know, they get married. The wife let herself go, cut her hair, doesn't do what she used to do. Sex is once in the blue moon, and nags him every time he comes home. And guys, other guys who are not married or single hear that, and they're like, why would I want to get married if things change? It is very hard for a man to say they're going to get married to a woman because, as a man, you got to be exceptional. You got to be exceptional. You know, and there's another thing also, if the man decides that he is married to the woman and he's not happy and wants to separate, the man is going to lose 50% of everything he earns. Divorce is very much on the women's side, not on the man's side, especially in the United States. So those are reasons that we don't talk about that brings a lot of men saying, why should I? I don't see, out of 10 marriages that I went personally, there's only one of them that is still working. The other eight are, the other nine are not example of great marriage. Not in my eyes.
I'm gonna interject. The reason why we probably don't mention the fact that, you know, a man will lose half of his income is because how many black women end up with half of a black man's income? I'm not going to go down that road on
no,
a bad
I'm not,
note.
But we're not just talking black.
I'm going to say in general, and we were speaking about black and female, black and, you know, black marriages. We don't take our husband's money. We don't. We generally are like, okay, you're done.
Okay. And I understand,
I don't know about that. I don't know about that because a lot of marriages that I'm aware of that are black, the woman that is the case, like he says, not necessarily, even if it's just black, it's just the court system. The court system typically automatically is in favor of the woman, whatever that man has. And I have heard a lot of black men make comments just as he's saying, to their friends and even to me as counsel, just counseling them, that they will say, you know what, she's going to get everything. I'm going to lose everything. I have no chance because she's the mother. She's going to have the children. I'm never getting married again. You know, so I think he's got
exactly.
One. I mean,
well,
and that's
I,
one thing I didn't hear anybody say, and that's very important. Is until the law changes and it becomes more equal, until we say to women that you got to bring your best, until we say to men that they got to bring their best, and that you should never accept if you're getting married to somebody, it's because you're getting married to the best partner you found in this whole wide world. You should treat that person as precious as you treat yourself. If you stop doing that, there's no marriage. If you stop respecting your man and he stops respecting you, there's no marriage. If there's no trust, there's no marriage. If there's no honesty, but a way to say it, there's no marriage. And we forgot about all those things. We accept a lot of things that we should never accept from a man or from a woman point of view.
Thank you, Stanley. Thank you very much for that. And what a way to go to break. We're going to get ready to go to break. And I'm so glad that he brought that up because I hear that all the time. I hear it all the time. We're going to break. We'll be right back.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Former Godfather's Pizza chief executive Herman Cain has a higher profile today. He's upset his rivals. Showing up the front runners, Texas Governor Rick Perry and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. NPR's Greg Allen says Cain worked hard for the victory.
Many of the delegates I spoke to over the 3 days said they were very impressed by Cain. He was everywhere. He spoke at several events. He hosted an event in which they had to hire a new space because too many people showed up and they crowded out the space that he'd originally hired. Cain has a very fiery speaking style, and he speaks to the Tea Party activists, who many of whom were here in Orlando this weekend.
NPR's Greg Allen reporting from Orlando. Back in Washington, President Obama is urging black lawmakers to get behind his jobs plan. Speaking at the Congressional Black Caucus Awards dinner last night, he evoked the civil rights struggles of the 1960s, calling on them to put on their marching shoes.
Shake it off! Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop crying. We are going to press on. We've got work to do.
The president acknowledged high unemployment among black Americans, but said some 20 million would benefit from his package of tax cuts and infrastructure spending. From Washington, this is NPR News.
Adam, where art thou?
Welcome back to Adam, where art thou? Here's the very lovely Kathleen Williams. Kathleen?
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm really glad that Stanley called in with that comment, because that is something that I don't know if you guys have heard that a lot, but I have heard that a lot. The only thing, Stanley, that you didn't add to your comment was the fat part, you know? And maybe you did say that, but I have heard men say that repeatedly. You know, they get married, they find a woman, they get married, and all of a sudden she's going to let herself go. But I just want to add the other side from a woman's perspective, that there are just as many guys, you know, that are pregnant and have, you know, that great big beer belly and stop doing, you know, whatever it was that you were doing before. So I think it goes both ways. And as far as my comment with regards to the couples, the friends that you have that are married that are not in happy marriages, I would recommend that you really change your conversation and see if you don't start to attract something different. Because I have a ton of married friends, and the majority of my friends who are married are very happily married. I really don't know a whole lot of people that are unhappily married. And also the majority of the guys that I know, the men that I know, are that I have about maybe 4 or 5 male friends who were looking for wives when I met them, and they have since gotten married, and they are also happily married. So, you know, I think there is a lot of talk about this, and just like Ronnie and Jerome was saying, really, there's a lot of conversation about this to keep us distracted from believing, or keep us distracted, or keep us believing that it's not possible to have a great relationship, it's not possible to have a successful marriage, and if you're ugly, you know, if you're a black woman, you're ugly, and a black man's not going to want you, or no other man is going to want you. I really think that all of these are distractions, and based on what you believe is what you're going to draw. And I just want to go back real quick to Paul and the conversation that he started out with, which was the time factor, because I think that's one of the things that has impacted everybody right now. You know, as the economy has changed, as technology has transitioned, it is just really difficult to find time, quality time to spend with people, and folks are trying to text their way into a relationship, and it just, and I don't think, even though technology has changed, I don't think the way you get into a relationship and get married has changed all that much. So I just would love for you all to weigh in on what you think, what will it take for people to have successful relationships and have successful marriages? Anybody, jump right in.
One.
Everybody's mic is on.
Stop talking down about your mate, or your possible mate, or your potential mate, and don't get with somebody's friends and sit around and say, "Ooh, she's gonna take all my money." If you have a negative, like you said, a negative outlook, you know, if you want to get married, then you have to be around people that are happily married, that are, they have something positive to say about marriage, that people that run in, you know, they have company with, go to church and find people that are married, speak to the pastor and find out what it takes to be a happily married person, as opposed to, you know, dwelling in the sewer and coming back with all these negative, you know, comments, negative stereotypes about the relationship. We have to clean ourselves up, and that goes back to what the princess? I'm sorry. What she said. Clean ourselves up and get healed. If we start there, heal ourselves and then come with a positive attitude, I think it'll change our entire generation. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And if, you know what? At the end of the day, it starts with our children. It then
if you're in a relationship and you know that you are not happy, it starts, it's not a selfish thing to really think about yourself. Get yourself together. If you're not together, you cannot realize any happiness with somebody else. One other thing that I did not say before, a lot of times in relationships, we look for happiness in somebody else. We have the intent, well, I'm going to get married so that he can make me happy, so that she can make me happy. No one can make you happy. You are happy already. You have to just realize it. So it's going to take time for you to connect with yourself. Come to discover who you are. Delve into your history, your family history. Denounce those things that, you know, make a choice and a conscious choice to denounce what is negative in your life and negative in your family's history. To ignore it, it only leaves you vulnerable. And the same cycle, if it be family confusion and dysfunction, then that will inevitably you're going to be faced with that. So you have to look at your life as your opportunity to create something great, and also realize that you're not going to find it in somebody else. You have to come with that. It's not 50-50, it's 100-100, and that's the way it goes, or else you don't realize true happiness. And then when we talk about the things that we have gone through when we're raising our children, it's so imperative, and Kathleen, you talk about this all the time, about single parenting and the importance of it. We have to really focus on our families, because what we are doing is creating generations of individuals that are insecure, that are unfaithful, that feel that they have no hope of a great family, and they're just settling because they feel like, look, it's 50-50 chance I'm going to end up, you know, married forever anyway, and they come in half-tail on the marriage. So it does start with us. That is the number one key, our own personal development, so that we can realize happiness with someone.
I think
I'm chatting away on mute. One of the things that people have talked about with regards to marriage and family and black families, I'm glad you brought up the whole single parent family and so forth, because that's a dynamic that we're looking at a lot in our community. But one of the things that is spoken about is that we have a very beautiful, powerful first couple and in America right now. And do you think that the first couple is bringing a different aura to the black family, that the family is getting back to basics now just by looking at this power couple? Do you think that what we needed was an example and that this is helping?
They are such a powerful example for all of us. They take time. I was listening to, now this is just awesome, I was listening to Michelle Obama on an interview here in Detroit. It was Valentine's Day, and it was, I cannot recall exactly what was going on in the world, but it was something very major. And the interviewer asked her, well, what are you going to do with the president today? And she said, oh, we have plans later on. He'll be off, and he's got something great, I'm sure, planned for me. And it was, I can't recall what it was going on in the world, but it was major. And even in spite of all that he had to do, running the country, being a representative for the entire world, he took time for his special one, and he made it a date with her. We don't do that. We don't do that. We don't take time for the special occasions. And those little bitty things really do matter. And that's huge. That's huge.
I want to bring in the guys real quick too, and just talk a little bit about romance, because that is something that we, you know, Dr. Princess Adelia just brought that up, and we see that with the president and his wife with the first dates, and Paul, you were talking about time. So let's talk a little bit about romance. What do you think, you know, are men as romantic as they once were, or were they, you know, what do you think about that, and how important is that in a relationship for you to be that way and for you to be romance? Can I buy a vowel from the guys?
I'll take a E for effort.
Do I hear anything? I know y'all are on the line.
Yes, we're on the line. In regards to romance and stuff like that, I think, you know, for guys are not really great communicators, and, you know, for the most part, you know, we all know that, women know that, you know, that women communicate more than men do. As far as being romantic, I think that depending on who the woman is and what he's trying to accomplish, that a man can be more romantic than he usually is. If he notices women sometimes like flowers, you know, candy, whatever the case may be, or, you know, just nice romantic things to do, then he's kind of pushed back into a corner to try to make an effort if he wants to at least get to know this woman a little better, to go out with her a little bit more and hopefully gain some type of relationship with that woman. For the most part, I don't think a man is going to break his neck to be overly romantic when he doesn't have no reason to or doesn't feel that he has to. So if a woman meets a man or like a particular man, but he doesn't have the romantic factor as much as she would like him to be, then she might have to push some of his buttons to see is he capable of doing it at all. Then, you know, make a judgment from there if this is something she want to continue, or at least, you know, kind of lead him in the right direction of being a little bit more romantic.
Okay, well, hold on. I got my pen. Can you tell me which buttons those are?
You just have to search and destroy.
All right. Search and destroy button. Got it. Okay, thank you. And you said if you okay, I want to ask this question, but I just want Jerome. Jerome, can you weigh in on that? I know you're trying to hide over there.
I have my mute on, Kathleen. Don't worry about me. I'm good. exactly what would you like me to weigh in on?
Weigh in on the romance. I was talking about the first couple and saying whether or not that might have a positive impact on black family. And also, you know, we see romance with that first couple. So I just wanted you to weigh in on the romance factor. How important is it? Does it matter in you know, developing relationships? Is that something that you think is important? We don't have it. We do have it. What do you think?
Well, I think the image of the president and first lady is important to black romance internationally. Like, there is something about us not seeing those images and not seeing those love stories play out generally that affects us. And so we think, I used to hear women say this all the time, that there are no good men. And all of those silly sayings that people used to have for years. We've been about a decade of people saying that, and now that there are no good men available for them, now they're complaining. It's like you created the environment once you put out that energy and said that there is nobody good enough for you, and now you can't find them. And so I think that when you have the president and the first lady always looking very much in love, and I'm not saying that they had to or anything, or they're putting on the show or they're doing it on purpose, but when you see that on TV without it being prompted and he holds her hand or hits her on the butt or whatever he does to show affection to her, I think we all appreciate that generally. I think that puts pause somewhere in our psyche to say, oh, yeah, that's cool that I can show affection in public, because nobody's doing that anymore. Everybody tries to be hard and I'll see you later kind of thing, and he holds her hand. I think that helps everybody society-wise across the board.
I think so, too. I think it's important. I think so, too, and I think it's really positive, you know, a really positive image, and I think that it makes a difference, because there is this thing. I recall a lot of guys, no PDAs. I'm like, what the heck is a PDA? No public displays of affection. I'm like, where did that come from, you know? But I think that it is important to see that, and it doesn't look forced. It looks very natural, like it's something that they always did, and I think it's helpful, just not even for, like you said, not just for us here, but all around the world when people see it. I want to, Pastor Donald Lee on the line from the 225 area code. Is that you, Pastor Donald Lee?
Tis I. Hello.
Well,
how are you doing, Kathleen? And thanks for inviting me over to call in.
Yes, absolutely. This is Pastor Donald Lee. He is out of Texas, and he is the author of Married to Commitment. And one of the, you know, it was important for us to have him here this evening because he talks about marriage all the time. So we've been talking about it, approaching it, and talking about it, particularly to the black community and what's going on. A lot of black women are just not married and concerned about that. Black men also not married. And we've had a lot of, you know, various points about it. So I'd like for you to weigh in. And as we prepare to wrap up at least this segment of the show, what are some of the things that we can do to make a difference in the black family and making sure that we see more successful marriages in our community?
Wow. I would say that it's very important for us to make sure that we have a relationship with God. And I think that it's not always a bad thing when you're not married. I'm divorced, okay? But it's not necessarily a bad thing when you're not married. I think the problem of divorce becomes great because you got people who...
Where are thou now? My best friend's sister, she had a lot of friends, just not enough time. So she got really good at texting while driving. I mean, she was amazing. But ever since the accident, everything has changed. She still has a lot of friends, but now she has no time. Texting while driving, it's dumb and it's deadly.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Robb. President Obama says that sometimes his hardest job is being a father. He said it's also the most rewarding. The president devoted his weekly address today to being a dad. He said he's learned that children need their parents' unconditional love and their time.
All of us can encourage our children to turn off the video games and pick up a book. All of us can pack a healthy lunch for our son or go outside and play ball with our daughter. And all of us can teach our children the difference between right and wrong and show them through our own example the value in treating one another as we wish to be treated.
The president spent the day before Father's Day on the links playing golf with House Speaker John Boehner. Vice President Joe Biden and Ohio Governor John Kasich rounded out the foursome. So far, the White House has not announced who won. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Love and happiness. Yeah.
Okay, I apologize, you guys. You see, a neophyte is on the board here, right? So we had the break interrupt Pastor Donald Lee, so you won't forgive me, okay? Pastor Donald, please continue with what you were saying. I apologize for that.
Okay, thank you. No, I was merely stating that. A lot of times we see a divorce in many marriages because you have often you have single people who get married for the wrong reasons. The sooner we get in there, we need to be at a point to where we're comfortable with first of all being by ourselves, having a relationship with God that comes before anything else. And one of the things I always say is that when I get married again, you know, it's important for me to yoke myself with someone who believes like I believe, or who has her own personal relationship with God, because it's something about being yielded to the Spirit of God that just, you know, that will make you want to. First of all, you want to be submitted to Him, and it is that submission to Him that produces a mutual submission between one another. So that's why I said earlier, as much as I really do want to be married. But at the same time, it's not like, oh my God, there's not a whole lot of black people on the whole that is married, and so that's alarming. I think that it would be alarming if you got several people who get married, and it doesn't work out because they didn't really understand who they were. So I think it's very, very important for us to be, for us to know who we are. You know what I mean? And when we get married for the right reasons, and that way we don't have a lot of self-centeredness, selfishness, people getting married for the wrong reason. But yeah, I certainly I caught the tail end of the first couple. And I think that is so key to be able to have images like that where you see them doing it right, and you see that it's a beautiful thing when black couples get together. You know, but I still think that it has to be when two people get together who are already whole before they get married. I think that's what we need to be shooting for.
Yeah, I think that's important too. What do you think are some of the wrong reasons that people get married, just so you know?
I have a coworker that we were just talking about discussing this past week. She just started talking to this guy, and she is interested. There appears to be a mutual interest. But would you ask her, hey, you know, what is it about this guy? What do you like about him? You know, and what do you like about the conversation? Well, you know, I'm doing well in my career. He's doing well in his career. He has a home that has a 3-bedroom home, and he's got this. And then, you know, I mean, she was talking about the material stuff, and she was talking about, you know what I mean? And I'm listening for, okay, what type of personality does he have in terms of, does he go to church? You know, is he someone who has that level of spirituality that I think really needs to be present in relationships, you know? But it was more the material side of things, and I think that's where we have problems. I don't think that we should get married to somebody because they're fine, you know, or because they have an X amount of money. Of course, you don't want to marry somebody who can't take care of you. But at the same time, I think that some of the things that we look at are much higher on our priority list than they should be.
Well, I'm glad you said that. And mm-hmm. and everybody that's on the line, you feel free to weigh in. Because I just so happened, just for the sake of this show now, I don't want anybody to take this mm-hmm. the wrong way. Just for the sake of this show, I went on a dating website today. And it mm-hmm. was, what's it called, Married and Something. Black people meet, married people meet. And so here were some of the descriptions of the guys that were on the site. So they put in there, one gentleman was 5'6", 52 years old. He had 5 kids, and he makes somewhere between $18,000 and $25,000 a year. Okay,
mm-hmm.
but did you guys hear that? And then, and these are the descriptions that they give you when they join the dating website. So these are people that are looking to get married. They want to partner up, and this is what they tell you first. They tell you their height. They tell you their age. They tell you what their marital status. There were a lot of married people on there looking, separated, never married or whatever, and they're, you know, and their financial status. So it's interesting that you say married for all the wrong reasons, but those are the very reasons that people, you know, feel like they can look to first to determine whether or not they're compatible with somebody.
Well, can I like to weigh in on this.
Oh, yes. Hi. Hey, how are you, Steve? Thank you for calling, and welcome to Adam, where are you?
You know, what I was shocked about was I was looking at the United States Census, and it was, you know, like, I was looking at 35-year marriages. I was trying to figure out how many people make it to 35 years, and, like, 25% of America, all marriages, make it to 25 years, and only 13% in the black community. So a lot of these problems in the black community are really American problems as well. And single motherhood is a European system as well, because if you look at the history of single motherhood, it started in Europe, and it made its way over here to America. So it's really not just black people; they don't have a monopoly over this problem. This is really an American problem. So, and every time I tell people that, they don't think it's true. They don't believe me, but it really is, because I mean, our very close. They're very similar. So you can get married, but can you stay married? And that's what we got to focus on. We keep focusing on getting the ring. We got to focus on keeping the ring on the finger. You know what I'm saying? And people are so focused on getting married, they forget about the 35-year commitment to stay married. And so it's a crackhead can get married. Anybody can get married, but can you stay married? That's the thing. That's my comment on that.
I think that a lot of...
Oh, go ahead, Princess Adair.
I think that it's very interesting when we talk about staying married. There are a lot of people, and I will say even in the European culture, where a lot of them are married, but a lot of them are unhappy. And why is that? I mean, they have a different viewpoint of the necessity of keeping the family together. So let's not assume just because the ratio is higher on the scale on the other side that it's a better picture. Because oftentimes we're still dealing with a population, a society of unhappy individuals within the confines of a marriage. So at the end of the day, we, black people, if that's what we're talking about today, then we have to understand that we have to step away from the idea of searching. I mean, we're trying to find ourselves and trying to find the perfect scenario for us that will get us closer to what we think is the perfect setting. But at the same time, we're lost within ourselves. So as the pastor said, you need to connect and become more, you have to become personally developed so that you can yourself attract a scenario of love and settle for nothing less than that. And it will not happen until then, you know. So the scenario, the ratios, they're the ratios. But at the end of the day, we have to get ourselves together so that we can reach our goals in family.
Amen. And I wanted to add, it's awesome that you would say that, my sister, about getting yourself together, because I was just about to say, I was watching this video that I have of a Bishop Noel Jones, and Bishop Jones is the title of the message is I've Got to Get Myself Together, and he said something very profound. He said, a lot of us are single not because we've been dropped and not because we can't have anybody. He said, many of us are single because we refuse to allow people into our parameters who mean us no good. You see what I'm saying? Because we don't want to put up with the foolishness that other people want to put you through.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And folk will try to convince you that, you know, your standards are too high. You know, that's unrealistic. No, it's nothing. There's nothing unrealistic about not wanting to put up with foolishness. There's nothing unrealistic about, you know what, this is where my level of spirituality is. This is where I am with God. This is how I feel about family. You know, I think you said earlier about people having two. You got two people who get married, and they have they come up from different backgrounds. One view child rearing one way, and somebody else view child rearing another way. And so now you're butting heads, and the kids are in the middle. And so what do the children learn? The children learn division. So when the kids grow up, they get married, and they get and it creates a cycle of divorce. You know, and we so we have to make certain that when we get married or before we get married, we have to be prepared. We've got to be prepared for marriage, which means that I have to get myself together. Yes, I have rough edges. I'm not perfect. I can forget about attracting somebody who's perfect because I'm not perfect. So what I have to do is make sure that I have a prayer life where I can allow God to help me to smooth out my rough edges. You know, and stay prayerful. And also, we cannot disregard the importance of an accountability system that we should have in place in terms of an accountability level of friends. You know what I mean? People who can speak into your life and say, "Girl, you know you're messing up. Come on now, come on home, boy. Come on, man. You know you said you believe in God for this kind of wife, and you can, man, you can't be distracted by this chick coming over here, man." You, I mean, people who you have allowed to get in your business. I mean, they're your biggest cheerleaders, but they will also be your biggest critic, not to hurt you, not to harm you, but to help you get to where you say you want to be.
Wow. And you know what? You know what, Pastor? I was just thinking, a couple of years ago, I wrote this quote, and it is, "Once you become self-empowered, the mirage of love will fade, and the reality of love will become your only tolerance." And when we decide to allow for us to develop ourselves, we become closer to God, closer to what God intended for us to be as individuals so that we can be a union that we desire. And I'll say this, so a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you have thought and your perception of love is thwarted, you have no knowledge of it, that's what you're attracting. If you think that, you know, it's just bad out here for you, you are creating that for your life. So we have to take time to create the vision that you desire. When you create that vision that you desire, then you stay focused on that, and you don't deviate from that so that you can have and attract love. But with a negative attitude, a negative perspective, you will do nothing but bring that type of energy to you and those types of individuals that carry that energy into your life.
Can I comment about the dark skin issue as well?
Sure.
I'm so tired of the dark skin issue, but, I mean, look at Naomi Campbell. You know, she's dark skinned. People love her. You know, it's not really the dark skin that's the issue. It's more of the weight that's the issue. And so, because, I mean, I've dated plenty of gorgeous dark skinned women. So it keeps saying that, but Naomi Campbell can attract the richest white men out there. So that's not necessarily true that dark-skinned women are not attractive. It's not true. We got to stop saying that.
I don't know, Kathleen, were we referring to Naomi Campbell looked chocolate to me. No. I mean, earlier, I think when they were saying that black women are unattractive, I don't believe that they were in reference to dark-skinned women, black women. I think they were referring to the black women as a whole, regardless of whatever color you are, stating that you're unattractive.
See, we got the 80% being overweight. It's become the issue. You know, my main thing is, can the mother of my child live long enough, you know, so my child grows up? You know, because, I mean, overconsumption of sugar produces like 78 symptoms. You can have 78 different health issues because you're eating too much junk food. So we've got to get the health better. It's more than just the weight. It's also about, are you going to live long to see your grandchildren? You see what I'm saying? It's more important than just in the mirror.
That's a good point. And I think that
when we talk about diet and habits and so forth, I mean, nobody can guarantee how long they're going to live, but what are you doing to make sure that you'll be healthy? And that really takes a tremendous amount of discipline. I was at a conference the other day, just this past week actually, with a psychiatrist who was talking about depression in the Black community in particular, and he was speaking to a group of single mothers. And when you think about the amount of stress that women in particular are under, whether they happen to be single mothers or mothers, period, whether it's in this economy, dealing with the economical, the economics of the society right now that we're dealing with, the additional workload that everybody has to pick up in order to handle their families these days, the just technology, trying to stay on top of everything and be all things to all people, it's producing a tremendous amount of stress. And stress, the manifestation of stress is often eating, you know. And if you're going to be stressed out and eat, what's the point in eating a salad? You know, you want a pizza, you want some cheesecake, red velvet cake, but we won't go there. But that, you know, that's really what happens. So one of the things that we see in the Black community is a tremendous amount of stress, which I think also impacts our relationships, because, you know, stressed out people are not getting along very well with each other, whether it's with their kids or with their partners and so forth. So I think it's an important point to bring up and something to consider for everybody who's listening. If you're dealing with something like this, just to encourage people to really get help and get support with it.
So, yeah, I agree. I agree. It's definitely a big issue, that health, in the stress. And so that's why we got to eliminate the knuckleheads. It's like they want a man established, you know, but the knuckleheads is what makes them wet. So, you know, it's between a rock and a hard place. You know, they want that, you know, the Morris Chestnut brother with the education. You know, this list is just getting out of hand, you know, this long list. You tell you talk about the list.
What people are talking about. Well, I think Pastor Lee, talked a lot about that in the beginning when you were saying definitely pay attention to what you're looking for, you know, in a partner, and make sure that it makes sense, that it's something that's going to matter in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
You're not
mm-hmm.
just looking for the physical attributes. You're looking for what's important. You know, is the person grounded? Or do they have a relationship with God? Do you really have something in common that will carry you through the tough time? So, and absolutely, you can jump in right there, and then I'll bring our final question.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I wanted to add, too, is this. We have a tendency in general to want to attract what we are not. You have to, you see, we're only going to attract what we are. You're going to attract what you are. A lot of times we want somebody who's it works out in the gym and they have discipline, but we don't want to be disciplined. We want somebody who goes to church, but when we get them, we don't even want to go to church with them after we get married. you know what I mean? And then when you do go to church, you have gone to church, or you have, you know, whatever you're involved in, and then the marriage, you know, the marriage is at that point of where you're struggling, and people say, well, why is it that the divorce in the church is higher than it is, or just as high as it is in the world? Well, because you have worldly-minded people who are coming together, and then they go to church. So what we have to do, again, is you have to make sure that you have that you're committed to God. Be committed to God. Allow God to clean. I mean, I'll use me for example. What I want is I want to make sure that I'm the best person that I can be and be whole within myself. Okay. I'm depending on God to help to smooth out the rough edges in me, so that I can attract what I desire. There's a certain kind of person that I have to have. But I've got to make sure that I'm working on being the type of person that I want to attract. If you want to attract somebody who is spiritually minded, you want to attract somebody who's attractive. Make sure that you're working on being that. You know, because at the end of the day, when you do get married, it's not about well, When I was a kid, I watched my mom and my daddy handle marriage this way. This is the way they were. This is the way they handled marriage. And then I watched my auntie and I watched my uncles. Probably 9 times out of 10, or at least 8 times out of 10, the people that we grew up watching in marriage, they were doing it wrong. Which is where we get all these divorces from. So what we have to do is we've got to make sure that we're connected with God, make sure that we want to clean ourselves up, smooth out our own rough edges so that we can attract. And then God will send you the right person. He will send you the person. It may not be perfect, but that person will be perfect for you. That person will not only compliment you, C-O-M-P-L-I-M-E-N-T, but compliment you, C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T. You know what I mean? That person will be the fit, a match made in heaven. But we just got to make sure that we're not being unrealistic in our expectations.
Pastor, hold on. You lost me on that spelling thing. You lost me on the spelling. I'm trying to write that down. What?
Say that again.
Could you give me that again?
What about the unrealistic? Hello? Am I breaking up?
C-O-M-P-L-I.
I'm sorry. Compliment. The C-O-M-P-L-I-M-E-N-T. Compliment. That's when you pay somebody, you give somebody a compliment. You know what I mean? Hey, you look nice. That's
right.
Complimenting. But the C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T, that's when that person is not complimenting you, but you guys work together. You kind of go together like peanut butter and jelly, you know what I mean? That's your fit. That's your match. Y'all compliment one another.
I wanted to add something that I did not mention earlier. And this is something that I have done with my children, making it very clear of when it comes to their personal development and spiritual development, the life. What we must understand, and it's extremely crucial, is that as we are spirit beings, on the being side of us, we have what we call our family genealogy, and we also have other things that are in conjunction with that. But I really want to talk about very, very briefly, and I want to give everybody a tip. When we are attracted to people, we are attracted to people first. I don't care. You may think it's the look. You may think it's the smell, how they wear their hair or whatever, but we are an energy field, and we are attracted to their spirit first. So it's very important for us to be very cognizant of that. And so what I've done with my children, and I do it in speaking and when I'm counseling people, when you find yourself attracted to somebody, put it out there to God and say, why am I attracted to them? Show me their spirit. And I've done that, and everybody that I've ever shared that with, they always get this knowing in their spirit. You may not hear a big audible voice or anything, and some of you may hear it because it may be somebody you need to run from really fast. But you will have a knowing of what is clear of them. And what you may find is that person was really your father, or that person was your mother. But that person's spirit and what they're carrying is the energy from the last relationship you're in. Because we cannot see somebody on the forefront just off. You don't know them. You don't know them. You've got social media. Some of you are meeting your mates offline. You're meeting them via the text, as Kathleen was saying earlier. Even if you meet them at the store and they seem so pleasant and so great, whatever, meet them in the church or the synagogue or wherever you go, you don't know them. And the only thing that will be clear to you is how your spirits connect. And that right there, God will show you. So we have to initiate that, be conscious of it, and say that. Show me their spirit. And some of you will find that you'll immediately just all of a sudden you'll lose interest. You're like, oh, gosh, I don't care how they look. So be very clear that we must take time when I say to develop yourself. Do not do not patronize God by not capitalizing on the spirit that you are, and then engaging in those things that will enhance your spirit and awaken it to work for you. Otherwise, we've got tools that we're not using on the battlefield, and that's senseless. So,
good. That's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. And I have someone else on the line, a friend of the show and a regular on the TJRS Radio Network. EIE, welcome to Adam, Where Art Thou? Thank you so much. Sherry, tell us your name and where you're calling from and your comment.
Hi, my name is Belton. I'm from New York. Thank you, Kathleen. I was listening, and the lady who just spoke, you know, I think she summed it all up. You know, some of what she said was what I was going to say. You know, when you meet a person, well, I know from my experience, I've never been married. But I know that I did speak with someone who was married. And we just had a conversation, and in that conversation, we talked about just about everything. And during that conversation, I became very relaxed, something I never felt having a conversation with any woman. And I realized that I was stimulated. And at the same time, I realized this is what I wanted. This is the kind of mate I wanted, who could stimulate me mentally. You know, none of us is perfect. And I really believe people get married today for all the wrong reasons. You know, I look at some of the old timers that have their marriages have been like 50 plus or 40 plus. And I always wonder what kept it going that long. And I believe it's the bond from the very beginning. The bond from the very beginning. It's not about what you got. It's not so much about who you are. It's the bond from the beginning. How do you bond spiritually, as the pastor mentioned? And I believe you build on that. You know, you're going to see what you like and what you don't like. And if there's something you don't like, you need to talk about it. And maybe there can be a compromise. You know, and also, you know, there's things that we do in the beginning that once we're in it, for a while, we become kind of complacent, and we stop doing. I heard somebody talk about the flowers and the cards and the little stuff, the little hand-holding, you know, the displays of affection in public, you know, the little stuff that we take for granted. For me, those are big, big, big things, our appearance. You know, don't let yourself go, because eyes will get to wandering and people will start to creeping, you know, and then that destroys it all. You know, to me, it's really not that complicated. You know, you get out of what you put in. You know, if you're not putting in very much, then don't expect very much. You know, and know who you're dealing with. And that comes from talking, long conversations. See where the person stand on their view, on religion, on going to church, on whatever, on money. And you'll figure out, you know, you should know whether is this a person I should be marrying or this is a person I shouldn't be marrying. It's real simple to me. You know, nobody's perfect. Everybody comes with flaws. Then you deal with the other person's flaws. Some people are very self-centered. They expect X, Y, Z. And that's how they are. You can't change them. You know, I don't believe in getting with somebody believing that you can change them or they're going to change. If they don't show any signs of changing, they're not going to change. You know, that's my experience. I think we need to stop competing and realize we're on the same team and stop listening to a lot of that propaganda, because I heard the studies and the statistics and the European look and this and that. Listen, if you're feeling a person, you're attracted to that person, talk to that person. See what you got in common. Yeah, I believe you got to throw God in there. Yeah, reveal to me what I need to see, because we can get blinded by looks and, you know, all the good stuff people say. But ask God to reveal it. And from my experience, it will be revealed. Simple as that. You know, this thing is not that hard. We make it hard.
Amen.
We make it hard for me. from bad information. It's really not that hard. I don't know if anybody agrees, but it's not that hard.
Yeah.
We make it hard because of bad information. You know, look at, you know, and I asked this question. I was hoping somebody asked it. You know, it is, I wonder why every time I visit church, there are so many single black women. Why? I have yet to get an answer to that. And I don't think it's because black men are bad. I think it's because of the information they're operating off of.
Well, I want to add to that. I want to respond to that. Again, like we've mentioned before, we have a tendency to hide in the church. You know what I mean? You got people who, and I'm not saying this is the case in everybody's case, but a lot of times you have people, again, who go to church, they're partying the club, you know what I mean? They're out dating and going a little stuff, you know, doing things that married people do, but on Sunday morning, they're waving their hands in the air. They got tears streaming down their face because they're connected in the spirit. But there are some things that they don't want to let go in terms of worldly things, in terms of a carnal-minded way of thinking or a way of living. And so all that stuff has to be purged out if you're really going to truly attract the person that God has for you. That is so important. I was talking to the young lady that I mentioned earlier. We were talking, and she was talking about, you know, this guy is really, it really has her ear because he has this kind of good job. He, you know, his career is taking off, and he's got this, he's got that home, he drives this kind of car. Well, what if he loses that? What if he gets laid off? What if he gets fired? You know, and how do you know? You haven't even been talking to him that long, and y'all already talking about marriage, and I don't even think they've been talking a couple of months. But how do you know that his house is not in foreclosure? I mean, things like that. I don't wish it on anybody, but that type of stuff you need to know. You know what I mean? You can't just be listening to these little sweet things that people tell you. You know, and then there's a long distance relationship where the majority of their conversation is over email, text message, Facebook. You know what I mean? So you got to have something more than just, again, not to minimize the importance of having a job. You got to have that. Now, having a career, you got to have that. But at least be working. But when that when that is the number one priority, or that is the number one prerequisite, and that takes priority over his heart, what type of heart does he have? I hear people say, well, you know, you can tell a good man by how he treats his mother. Not necessarily, because he may treat his mother like a queen, but then marry you, and his mother is still treated like a queen, and you treat her like a peasant. So there's a lot of things that you have to take into account.
That's right. There are a tremendous amount of things that you have to take into account, and it's not easy, but it's not complicated, just as Belton said.
Amen.
So we're running down on the last 5 minutes of the show, and first of all, I just want to thank everybody for being here and for your patience too, as I learn how to work this board. So I really appreciate that, but I just want to make sure that everybody has at least, you know, just take 30 seconds and give your final comments, because one of the things that we do when we talk about topics like this that people are really passionate about and very much interested in, I just want to make sure that we give people something to hold on to, something to take away and say, okay, you know what, at least I learned this, or at least this is a little bit of a solution to what's going on in my life or the people I know if I'm interested in a relationship. So I just want to give everybody a real quick 30 seconds, please, to give your final comments, because we're going to have to close out in a couple of minutes. So I'm going to just go straight down the line. Dr. Princess Cecilia, we'll start with you.
I would just like to say, as I said before, once you become self-empowered, the mirage of love will fade, and the reality of love will become your only tolerance. Create your vision. Understand that you are a spirit being, and you must walk in that so that you can attract what is for you.
Great. Thank you so much. We have a caller who is live from the 317 area code. If you'd like to give a comment, please let us know your name and your comment, please, and where you're calling from.
This is Steve from Indianapolis. Forgot my name. It's
okay,
awesome. But well, I just want everybody to know that marriage is a new entitlement. Just because you're a man, just because you're a woman, does not mean you're marriage material or do you deserve to be married. You have to look in the mirror at yourself and ask, I have to do it every day. You know, what do I need to fix about myself? You know, you have to look in the mirror. You know I have a low tolerance. I admit that when dealing with people, with women. But everybody does not deserve to be married. So, you know, and that's good. It's a wake-up call for people. Stop treating it like an entitlement. You have to earn anything you get in this world. So, and have a good job to you guys on Saturday, on Sunday for politics.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Ronnie, go ahead. You have your, and actually, you have 30 seconds. Ronnie?
Hi.
Okay. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
And it gives everybody a chance to get a feel for what we all are looking for in relationships with one another. And I think that that's what I'd like to add. A good relationship with God is, I guess, first and foremost, because then we can be led to be able to love one another just as friends and neighbors. And from there, we can build better relationships within our household.
That's awesome. Paul.
Yes, I'm here. I think that you got to communicate. You know, people always trying to figure out what people like and don't like. You know, one of the easiest ways is to ask. If you're not sure if a person doesn't like this or don't like that, just ask them, by the way, do you like this or what do you think about that? It's just that simple, you know, start asking more questions.
Thank you so much. Okay. And Jerome.
Kathleen, you know, I got nothing. I just want to say great show. And I'm here just enjoying myself. So good job today. Great show.
Thank you, Jerome. Okay. Let's see. Pastor Lee.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, Kathleen, the importance of being whole first. Before you even think about getting into another relationship, work on you. Work on smoothing out the rough edges within you so that you will become whole first. And so when you're whole first, you're not depending on somebody else with unrealistic expectations, expecting somebody else to come in and be your savior or someone else to come in and just make life easier for you. Once you're whole and you're putting God first, God will send to you another whole person. And then when you do that, I'm telling you, that is what great marriages are made of.
Thank you so much. I actually just lost the board. So whoever did not give their final words, we have 60 seconds. Do you want? I will give you 10 of my 10 of them because I want to close out. Did anybody else have something that they wanted to add? Okay. All right,
this is Kelton. I just want to say good night and thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, everybody. This has been fabulous last day, Sunday in September episode of Adam, Where Art Thou? Have a phenomenal week. Definitely look forward to International Men's Day. We will be honoring incredible men in the state of New York on November 19th. So make sure you talk to me, get your tickets, follow me on Facebook, check out that interview that I did with Lisa. It was awesome. Love you all. Have a fabulous week and enjoy. God bless you.